Morning again. If you haven't turned there, please turn back to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be walking through this. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Luke chapter 15. I heard one of the funniest things last week. We were sitting around here before the service got started, and as a worship team, just getting into prayer. We're going to pray for the service. And Kyle was talking about how when he was 18, he wanted me to clarify this. It was when he was 18 and young. But he was having this issue with his brother. His brother was doing something stupid, blah, 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 right? Younger brothers do that all the time, right? And he told his mom, he said, you know, I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe he's acting this way. It's like the prodigal son. And his mom turned to him and said, well, what does that make you? And so we're talking about the older son this morning, and as a church, you grow up in the church, you hear the story, you read the story, you've taught the story over and over again, and a lot of the emphasis is always put on the younger son, the prodigal son. That's what the title is. But this morning, we're focusing on the second half. We're focusing on the older son. The older son is actually, you know, more of the focus than the younger son. If you look at verse 1 and 2 of Luke 15, Jesus is talking to a bunch of Pharisees. And it's so this parable is in the context of teaching Pharisees their proper place, their lack of compassion. And so this morning, we're going to look at the older son. And specifically, we're dealing with this central truth. It is impossible for you and me to extend grace to others when we ourselves fail to recognize God's grace for ourselves. When we do not understand the depths of grace which God the Father has given us, we then act out of selfishness. We act out of a spirit of judgmentalism, of critical thinking. But it's when we really understand the vertical grace that has been given to us, then we are able to extend that grace horizontally to others as well. And that is the heart of the Father. I said that we tend to, as we're younger, focus on the younger son, and as we get older, we see what's going on with the older son. But I believe that the Lord would have us go even further, and that we would stop focusing on the younger son and the older son, and we would start to focus on the love of the Father, the compassion of the Father. He's called us to become more like him, correct? And therefore, he's given us an example of what he looks like, of how he operates, of where his heart is in this entire salvation thing. You and I are called to exemplify the same love that the Father has for all sinners. And so that's our focus this morning. If you'll begin with me, let's look at verse 25. We are told that the older son was in the field. He was in the field. This is in the Greek showing that he was out there for a long time. All right, he's been there from sunup to sundown working the field. And this shows us a nice little picture of everything about the son. He's been in the field this whole time working. For who? Dad. But meanwhile, what's the younger son been doing? Living it up. So he's out working in the field, and as he came to the house, he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So you've been working in the field, the responsible older son, this whole entire time. No one came to get you, but you stumble upon the sounds of laughter, merriment, and music. How would you feel if you had been working all day and no one even came to get you? What's going on? There's music and Baptists. There's dancing. Both are prescribed and described throughout the Bible. It's okay to dance. The older son draws near to the house, and he's a little bit perplexed, and he's also a little bit upset. And he calls out to one of the servants, and he asks what these things mean. And he said to him, your brother has come, your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But the older son was what? Angry, and he refused to go in. Why was he angry? Why was he refusing to go into the father's house? four little things stand out to me. Your brother has come home. Wow, that set him off. That pushed his button. If you remember, the younger son had taken all the money from the father, and he had gone off to the far country to spend it, to live it up. And as I said last week, this was a cultural slap in the face of the father. The son said, give me my money now. Give me my inheritance. And you only receive an inheritance after someone has died. Culturally, the younger son was saying to the father, you're dead to me. Give me my money. I don't want to have anything to do with you. The older son, did he say that? Did he do that? No, he stuck around, working in the field all this time. And so just hearing that the younger son, his brother, had returned, pushed his button. You ever had someone push your button? Angry, refusing to go inside. Second, the father has received him back. Are you kidding me? Not only has he dared to show his face, but the father, my father, has chosen to receive him back after everything he did to you, Dad, after he turned his back on you and us. You received him back all the while I've been here. Let's really get to the heart of the matter. You take him back after what he's done, but I've been working hard this whole time. While he was living the high life, I'm sweating in the fields. While he was making friends and influencing people, I was stuck on the family farm with no friends. And yet you receive him back. Number three, your father has killed the fattened calf. The feast in this day and age was highly symbolic. Contrary to our American, perspective, not everyone eats meat every day. Even today, in 2017. And back then, in the ancient Near East, having a fattened calf, slaughtering it, was only reserved for a very special occasion. This was highly symbolic. We go to the store, we get a steak, we put it on the grill. Not so much here. Totally unique, different, reserved for special things. And this just kind of rubbed salt in the older brother's wounds. I've been the good son. I've been the responsible son. And you do this for him? Come on, firstborns, ever been there? I'm the good son. I'm the responsible son. Oh, I could share something right now. It just came to me. I won't go there. Fourth, he has received him back safe and sound. The younger brother came back. He not only was accepted by the father, but he came back safe and sound. Well, let's be honest. When we're thinking about people we don't like, when we think about people who have hurt us, finding out that they're safe and sound is the last thing we want to hear, right? This brother, he didn't want to hear that. He wanted to hear that something bad happened to the younger brother, right? We all want our pound of flesh. We want people to hurt for the way they've hurt us. Not to hear that they've been blessed, not to hear that they've been doing well. He's angry. And so he refuses to go in. Again, refuses, this verb in the Greek, for a long time, he just refuses. I can picture, maybe it's cold outside and he's out there in the cold, but he's refusing. Like kicking the rock back and forth, pacing, refusing. And this verb also shows, refuses, its first translated definition is desire. It's not just refusing mentally. There's something happening within his heart. He does not desire. He does not will. He does not long to go into that house. There's a heart issue here. He's bitter. But the story doesn't end there, thank God, right? Thank God in his mercy, the story never ends there. In bitterness. His father came out to him, and his father entreated him, again, verbally, over and over again. His father begged him. His father pleaded with him. This word entreated is the Greek word parakaleo. Parakaleo. Does it sound like anything familiar to you, Greek speakers? Parakaleo. Paraclete. Jesus told his disciples, I'm leaving you. I got to go somewhere else. But the Father's going to send what? Who? I'm sorry, it's not a what. Who? The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Now, some of our translations translate that comforter. I don't like it, you know, because it's not, the Holy Spirit's not just a warm blanket that covers us up. This word paraclete has two words put together. Para, Margarita's not here, Hector, para, for, right? Spanish, para, for. And then kaleo, which means to cry out, to call out. What is the paraclete? What is the Holy Spirit? He is the one who calls out and cries out for us. Some other translations refer to him in that word, that verse, as the advocate. He is our advocate. He's our mediator. Parakaleo, calling out, crying out for. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And because he's calling out for us all the time, because he's advocating on our behalf all the time, it brings us comfort. And therefore, he's the comfort. What is the Father doing in this story? He is crying out. He is pleading for the older son to come to reason, to end the bitterness, to put aside the anger. The Father, who is currently missing the joy of the festival that's happening inside the home, comes out to plead with the older son to reconcile. But, verse 29, the older son answered his father, look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, you notice he doesn't say that. This son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You did what? You killed, not him, the fatted calf, for him. These many years I served you. And here we get to the heart of the matter. It's not about the well-being of the son that's the problem. It's about the pain and the hurt that the older son still experiences. Henry Nguyen said, after all, he did all the right things. Speaking of the older son, after all, he did all the right things. He was obedient, dutiful, law-abiding, and hardworking. People respected him, admired him, praised him, and likely considered him a model son. Outward, the elder son was faultless. But when confronted by his father's joy at the return of his younger brother, a dark power erupts in him and boils to the surface. Suddenly, there becomes glaringly visible a resentful, proud, unkind, selfish person, one that has remained deeply hidden, even though it has been growing stronger and more powerful over the years. Not only did the younger son who left home to love for freedom and happiness in a distant country get lost, but the one who stayed home also became a lost man. Exteriorly, he did all the things a good son is supposed to do, but interiorly, he wandered away from his father. He did his duty, he worked hard every day, and he fulfilled all his obligations, but became increasingly unhappy and unfree, end quote. The younger son left home in pursuit of identity, in pursuit of an identity that he already had given to him by his father. The older son stayed home and ended up losing his identity, the identity that he always had. These many years I have served you. This is the word doulos. It's usually translated bondservant / slave, depending on which translation of the Bible you use. What is the son screaming at the father? I have slaved away my life for you. It almost sounds like the younger son. All these years, Dad, I've been slaving away for you. And you honor him. The older son didn't understand what it meant to be a son. Somewhere along the line, he got it confused and he started to see himself as a slave. In truth, he only saw himself as a worker. What do slaves do? They work, right? They work for a master. Which leads us to the real point of this parable. What is this parable about? This parable is about the gospel. The good news. There's a lot of bad news out there right now. This is the good news. This is the perfect picture of one's inability to understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and embrace it. Embrace him. The gospel is that the Father loved the Son. The gospel is the grace that the Father gives to each of us as his children. Grace is undeserved. It is unearned. You and I cannot earn a place at the Father's side. We cannot deserve a place in the Father's home. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn the Father's love. Do you believe that? Because like that's ground zero. If you think that you could do something, anything, to earn more of the Father's love, you're in the older son's camp. You just crossed over the line, and you became the older son, thinking that you could somehow earn more of the Father's love. There's nothing we can do to deserve the Father's love. Nothing that we could keep doing to continue to deserve the Father's love. It's only because of God's unfathomable, crazy, amazing grace. It's his gift to us. We are saved not because of anything we could or should do. It's God who saves us from ourselves. It's God who saves us from the pursuit, the longing within us of chasing after created things, of false saviors, within ourselves or apart from ourselves. And yet we constantly strive, you and I'm guilty. We constantly strive to work for the Father's love. Don't we? Let's be honest. There are so many moments throughout our week where we're trying hard to earn the Father's love. But that ain't Bible. That's not the gospel. The younger son thought he could find the love of something in the far country. The older son thought that he could find the love, the fulfillment within him by staying and working. But it doesn't matter how far we travel physically, whether we're pursuing the far country or we're staying in our little, you know, compartments of moralism. It doesn't matter how far we travel physically. The longing always remains within us. We can't run from the longing, the spiritual longing that the Creator put within us for fellowship with him. You and I have a longing inside for a love that can only be filled by the Creator. Let me say that again. You and I have a longing within us, a desire within us that can only be fulfilled by the Creator. Not a significant other, not a spouse, not a child, not a job, not a certain number in the bank account. not a car, a new car. We search far and we search wide, but it doesn't matter how far we search for this love. This love is only found in the Father, in the arms of the Father. The Father's eyes are on the horizon, watching for us, like the younger son. He's ever on the run towards us, chasing after us to embrace us like the younger son. And he's also stepping out of his home to chase us. He's leaving the party, he's walking out into the cold, and he's pleading with us as the older son. Everything I have is yours. What's the problem? I've given it to you already. You're not a hired son. You're not a hired daughter. You are a son. You are a daughter. He said to the son, "Son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours." Isn't that what's most important? The relationship between us and the Father? All that is mine is yours. He had already been given everything that the Father had. You think about it. We go back to the beginning of this parable. What did the Father do? He divided the inheritance. He gave the younger son a third. The older son, he gave two-thirds. The son already owns it. He already has it. And somehow he's forgotten that everything that the Father has already been given to him. The son owned the farm. The son's complaining about working in the fields, but he owns the farm. Isn't that crazy? The son had been a direct recipient of all the Father's blessings for quite some time. The truth is that the older son could have sacrificed the goat. It belonged to him anyway. But he didn't understand his true identity. He saw himself somehow. It got flipped in his mind. He saw himself as a hired worker and not a son. In church, friends, we do this. Somehow we get it wrong. We get busy. We get crazy. We listen to the voices of the world, and we start to see ourselves as a worker instead of a child. The truth was that the Father's love for the young son was the same love that he had for the older son. And all the love he had for his younger son was the same love that the older son could have for the younger son, his brother. Verse 32, it was fitting. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It was fitting. Usually translated, it was necessary. This had to happen. This is what's right. There's no denying it. It had to take place. You get that mentally. You know that mentally, but your heart won't allow you to accept it. This, your brother. Notice the word this, referring back to the brother's use of it. This brother, this son of yours. The father is saying, this, your brother. He's your brother too. Yes, he's my son, but he's your brother also. The father reminds the older son that this is his brother. This your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Isn't that good news? What's wrong with your thinking? You become toxic. Where's your heart in this? Celebrate and be glad. Do it. Celebrate this. When we're younger, again, when we're younger, we tend to look at this parable and we focus on the younger son, right? And we get all warm and fuzzy, all the young kid came back. But something happens as we get older. We get like cranky, we get crusty, we get critical. Over here, to be like the father and to love, to celebrate, to be glad. There's some of us who begin to understand, you know, this is spiritual maturity, this is spiritual growth. There are some of us that begin to understand the heart of the Father and compassion and love and mercy. Some of us are still stuck here. Some of us are down here. But the goal is to become more like Jesus, right? It's to become more like God, right? To become more like the Father. You know, so some of us begin to understand the love of the Father. The older son doesn't understand the love of the Father. He doesn't care like the Father does. Think about this. The older son didn't bring the younger son into the world. The older son didn't hold him when he was born. The older son didn't change his diaper. Isn't that a great act of love, fathers? The older son didn't teach him how to read. Again, we all know how many hours it takes of our life trying to teach our kids to read, right? The older son didn't teach the younger son how to tie a tie. The older son didn't stay up all night waiting for the younger son to come home. Right? This is what fathers do, right? They worry about the younger son coming home safe and sound. And church, this is what the Father does. This is the love that God the Father has for us as his children. Fathers love their sons. Sons never understand the love that their fathers have for them, do they? Until they hold their son. Until they change the diaper. Until they start teaching them how to read. The father loved both of his sons, and both of these sons failed to understand the depth of the Father's love for them. Why did Jesus tell us this parable? Because he was trying to communicate to each of us, you and I, the depths of the Father's love. This isn't really a story about the younger son. It's not really a story about the older son. It's a story about the Father and his love for us. His love for the stupid sons that chase after fantasy and the stupid sons that in their pride think they're all that. And you and I are both the younger son and the older son all the time. But the Father remains the Father. And his love is eternal and infinite for us. Central truth is, it's impossible for us to extend grace to others when we ourselves do not see a need for that same grace. Church, have we forgotten what grace looks like? Have we forgotten what grace feels like? Have we forgotten the depths to which God the Father chased after us in our judgmental sin, in our rebellious sin? This whole parable starts in Luke 15, verse 1 through 2. We read that the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him. The tax collectors and the sinners, the scum of the earth, everyone of human society that was eating and feeding out of the pig slop, those people were drawing near to Jesus, and he wasn't turning them away. What was he doing? The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners, and he even eats with them." The story really isn't about the younger son or the older son. It's about the Father who chooses to love sinners. And church, we're all sinners. But the Father loves us. The Father loves us so much that he didn't just chase us running out of the home. He sent his true son. He sent his one and only son, his obedient son, his just son, his perfect son. He sent his real son out to chase after us. that you and I would become adopted sons and daughters. Isn't that crazy? I mean, because what we are children of God. We are his adopted children, though. We didn't belong. We didn't deserve it. He chose us. But he also sacrificed for us. The Father's there, but behind it all is Jesus, the one who is speaking these words to us. The true Son, the one and only Son, who left home, who left the loving home of the Father, who traveled to the far country, who traveled outside, left the festival in heaven to put his arms around us on behalf of the Father. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, God shows, not showed, he's still showing his love for us today. God shows, present tense, his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Father's love is infinite and eternal. Church, we exist to love, to follow, and to share Jesus. Why? So that others would come to love, follow, and share Jesus. We worship in love because of the grace that's been afforded us. We don't do good works. We're not hired servants working hard to earn the Father's love. No, the Father's love has been given us, and because we love the Father, we do this stuff. It's a joy to follow him. And then it's a joy to celebrate and share him. Why? So that others would come to then start loving the Father and understanding his love for them, that they would start walking with the Father and start enjoying the fellowship he desires with them, and that they too would participate in the mission of Christ to share the gospel to all nations. This is the gospel, is it not? This morning, I don't know where you're at on this spectrum. I don't know if you're the young son and you need to turn to God for the first time, to repent, to recognize you've been chasing after created things, things that don't satisfy. I don't know if you're the older son who maybe you've known the Father for a long time, you've been working for the Father, but today the Holy Spirit's convicting you. It's not about work. It's about resting and walking in his grace still. But I do hope that every single one of us this morning would see the love of the Father and that we would be moved to his love, that we would receive it, and that we would become his ambassadors, his agents of love in this world, that we too would become more like the Father, more loving, more compassionate, more caring. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this world right now. A week ago, it was pro-life, pro-choice arguments. It occupied all the news. This week, it's immigration. None of it matters. Don't get me wrong, it matters. But what matters is us displaying the love of the Father to others. That's what matters. Accepting his love and sharing his love. Can we do that this week? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your love demonstrated to each of us as you sent your Son to die on behalf of us. Lord, that you loved us so much, you sent your one and only Son who left your home to chase after us who are constantly leaving your home. Lord, may you right now pour into us your presence, that we would know you, that we would know the great love you have for us. And Lord, would you put it into our hearts this morning that we need to love others, that we need to forgive a couple people, Lord, that we need to have faith. Lord, that your grace can change others. Maybe even more than it can change us. We pray this for our good. We pray this for your glory. And we do so all in the name of Jesus.